It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chop.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guys.
Happy holidays. It's the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. This is the Saturday before the reason for the season. And we're wishing you a happy holiday. And hope that you got most of your shopping done. If not, there's still time. It's Jop with one P. You can buy me anything you'd like out there. But I am Jop. He's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, Merry Christmas, and welcome to Warm Thoughts from the Grilling Guys.
Yeah, we're supposed to, a couple days from now, we're supposed to be 50 on Christmas Day. I've seen guys when I lived out in Northeast Kent County that water skied on Christmas Day before. They'll probably be doing it again if it's 50 degrees out. Put the suit on and ride behind Santa's boat.
Well, let's do it this way. If you're a bow hunter,
yeah,
it'd be a wonderful time to get back in a tree.
Yep, you're exactly right.
As I look at my trail cam right here, look at all the deer on my camera. I got to go back up.
So, got a question for you. Are you making anything special for the Christmas dinner?
Well, you know, I plead the fifth on that one. Or whatever amendment, dads just do nothing.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to get courageous, and I've only ever done it once before, and I'm breaking my rule that I don't usually cook things for people that I haven't tried and got it perfected. But this is the second time I'm making a whole beef tenderloin. Got to get over to Sobeys and get it. But
you've never made one?
What? Not a beef Wellington.
Oh,
dice up, you pulverize some cremini mushrooms. Those are like the brown little baby Bellas with some shallots and
some
garlic. Does
those give you a high?
No, not at all. But they're, you kind of create, and you put them in a pan with butter, and you make kind of a paste out of them. And then you take puff pastry, which is, I buy it at the store. I'm not going to make it. Sheets of puff pastry.
Yeah.
And then you take prosciutto ham and put like 8 slices on it. Then this is all happening in the future. I haven't done it yet. I'm going to brown the tenderloin for 2 or 3 minutes on each side in the
and you're going to season it.
Yeah, with salt and pepper. And then I'm going to lay it on that puff pastry with the with the prosciutto on it. Puff pastry, prosciutto, 3 times fast. And then roll it up and then wrap it in cellophane and put it in the fridge for about 2 or 3 hours so it all kind of sets. And then you do an egg wash on the outside so it gets golden brown. 425 for about 35 or 40 minutes is what I'm reading. I'm not done any of this
it's
yet.
It's about right.
But it's going to come out. It's seared on the outside to hold the juices in so it doesn't saturate the puff pastry.
I think it doesn't. Maureen doesn't sear it, and it doesn't seem to saturate the pastry.
Gives you a little color then too, but medium rare, 45 minutes, 40 to 45 minutes at 450. It's hot, but I'm really looking forward to it. And then you just slice it off like a jelly roll, and you've got little pieces of.
And that's for Christmas Day.
That is Christmas Day.
Do you have people coming over?
I do, just the family. There's going to be 6 of us.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, so I think that I'll get like 3 pounds, 4 pounds of that, and we'll see how it goes.
Well, the boys will like it.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, good luck on that.
Yeah.
That is not one of my favorite dishes at all.
Well, I'm going to try it. It's pretty. It's a presentation thing.
It's a cool concept.
Yeah.
I told Maureen, don't bother anymore.
Well, I'm not a big tenderloin fan because there's no marbling in it. There's not a lot of flavor, but I'm thinking with the garlic and the mushroom around it, and we'll make a little demi-glaze to drizzle over it. Pass that around in a gravy boat, and then it'll be it's a beef flavor, but it's not my favorite beef flavor.
You know, for your sons and their wives, I think they'll probably love it because the women always like it because there's no fat and there's no grizzle.
Right.
They can just cut it and eat it. And women love tenderloin.
Yeah.
For some reason.
Yep.
I find it flavorless.
So do I.
And,
to the most degree. That's why you got to put the sauce on it, and you got to stuff around it. And
you know what I like using on blander type beef is Texas T-bone.
Yep.
You can get that at Sobeys.
I might have a bottle of that.
That is a wonderful blend.
Right.
Yep. For and we'll exactly season up with what that. You're doing.
Yeah. Yep. Right. and season on the outside.
Matter of fact, I had some of that Wagyu beef, some of those Wagyu beef patties that mm-hmm. I bought from my friend out in Nebraska. And I found two in the freezer. I'm really trying to go through my freezer and make sure anything that's a year old is gone.
Lord, do I need to do that.
Oh, I'm telling you, it's wonderful what you'll find.
Yeah, right. No, you're right.
I found these two Wagyu beef patties from, they're only from last summer, but it didn't matter. I wanted to eat them.
Right.
So it was one of those rainy days, and I was being a wuss, and I just said, I'm just going to do it inside on cast iron.
Yeah.
And I took those babies, and I put that Texas T-bone on them.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
And kind of a slower heat. I put a little bacon grease in the pan because I love cooking with bacon grease. And with that Texas T-bone, and then this is a wonderful Wagyu. It's
uber marbled.
Oh, crazy.
Yeah.
And Maureen didn't even talk.
No?
She wouldn't even talk. She's just
you should make that again.
Ooh.
Wow.
This guy is brutal.
Wow.
Ooh,
and I,
look
you know
who's
what,
talking.
And here's the other thing. Is
maybe
this,
you should make it.
Conrad, can we delay the airing of this until Tuesday after Christmas? I might have put my cinnamon rolls in jeopardy right there.
How was it out in the doghouse?
Yeah, I don't go to see Bob's family for the holidays. I just go to get Moe's cinnamon rolls. Oh, my God, are they good.
Oh, well, man. I think they're going to be even better this year.
Yeah.
She's our daughter-in-law, Allie, has gotten her into sourdough.
Oh, yeah.
And all the good gut reasons for sourdough instead of regular bread. And she's got a starter right now. And I'm telling you, if you have really good homemade sourdough breads,
yeah, oh, yeah,
it's amazing.
Oh, it is good.
Allie made us
these. Just wondering how it's going to be mixed with the sweetness of a cinnamon roll.
It's not really sour. I mean, it's not. You
can't
tell.
Right. It's just dense.
No, it's lighter and fluffier. That's the point. Allie made these garlic knots. They looked like a
garlic knot.
Pretzel knot, you know, something like that. But it was a garlic roll. And it was sourdough, and I think it's like probably the best bread I've ever had in my life.
Fresh out of the oven has something to do with
it. I didn't want to eat anything else. I just kept eating those.
Yep.
Because I knew they'd run out, and I wanted as many for me as I could.
Well, there you go. You know what? You can do that at Christmas, right? If you want to, if you're the cook.
Well,
right?
Allie's our daughter-in-law, and she's...
Yeah, no, I get
she's, it. I tell her she's turning Amish because... She does so much from scratch. It's like I expect her to go out in the woods and get the deer now.
Well, she be careful. She might go with you and sit in the stand. You know
that would be good. Yeah. Maybe she'll get one before her husband does.
Yeah, or her father-in-law, as it may be. Yeah, absolutely. So, are you still scouting for deer? Are you still looking to bag one before the end of the year?
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm gonna go back up. And do a little bit more bow hunting when my wife's not paying attention.
Right. Well, is she leaving town?
Unfortunately, no.
Oh, okay. Well, then she might.
Not that I know of.
If she's there for 2-3 weeks at a time, she might be happy to see you go.
You'd think so, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you got.
If she didn't have that darn list.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Well, if one of those. Yeah. Anyway, I don't have to, but I really want to do jerky and sausage. So another fat dough would be wonderful.
Yeah. Okay. That's not a reference to the sourdough. That's a different dough that you're talking about right now, right? Right.
Pack a lunch when you go with a joke like that.
Yeah. Right. I'm listening. I'm actually looking for something here.
Yeah.
In my little library of things to talk about.
But, well.
So keep going, man.
No. I was going to tell you. I tried to explain something to you. Over the last couple of years, and different people have a concept I saw somewhere of a. It's called a festival fire.
You got 30 seconds to explain.
I got 30 cent. I got 50 cent.
You're right.
It's a festival fire that you burn in front of your house for Christmas and New Year's.
Well, that's
so
cool.
So I've got half of it that I purchased, and I'm building the other half today when I get home.
So you're building a fire, right?
I'm building a stand for it.
Oh, all right. All right, well, coming up next, Barbecue Bob, once in a while, we're big advocates of buying barbecue sauce, but we make it once in a while, so we're going to do a recipe. You're listening to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
Hey, this is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
The Grilling Guys.
Happy holidays. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. First segment, we were talking about things we might make for the holidays, a little sourdough and beef Wellington and a few other things, but you didn't miss much, so we're glad you're tuning in.
Thanks.
Now we're going to talk about a little barbecue sauce. You know, if I had a nickel, I'd probably have 10 of them if, for every time somebody says, how come you Grilling Guys don't make your own sauces? How come you don't make your own rubs? And the thing is
we're lazy.
There's one, there's some of that, but two, there's so many really good ones out there. But every once in a while, you know, you venture in, you want to dabble with this or that, and you make your own. So Barbecue Bob has got some ideas about making some sauce.
Some sauces? Well, I think one good reason to make sauce is, let's say you're doing some barbecue and you can't get to the store, didn't get to the store, whatever, and you really know that somebody there is going to want some sauce. It's so easy. It's crazy. When you find out how easy it is, you might not ever buy it again because you can literally make one with better products in a healthy way that you'll be tuned right to your palate, you know, or your wife's or your boyfriend or however you roll.
Yeah, a lot of sauces. Most of them, not all, but most of them have sugar, a lot of sugar.
Way too much. Yep. Yep. Or it's actually the cheaper ones like Sweet Baby What's-His-Face. That's all corn syrup.
Right.
That's high fructose. It's not good for you.
Right.
You know, look in the mirror when you get out of the shower next time. That's fructose.
Is it? Wow. I did today.
Did you?
I wasn't thinking fructose, I was thinking, man, these holidays, I put on 5 or 10 pounds every year.
And they're not even here yet.
Right, yeah.
So, I don't know. I guess when I did the Ghost Kitchen here a year and a half ago, maybe, I was going through a lot of sauce, and I was looking at ways of, you know, fine-tuning the machine and maybe saving money and maybe personalizing products for, you know, that had our label on it. And Randy wants to show all these different regions of sauces that we have. So why don't you tell everybody what the different regions are?
Well, they're across the United States. There are many different styles of barbecue. And they're generally along the South, some in the Midwest when you get into Missouri and Kansas, but a lot of them, Carolina, Texas, Tennessee, Alabama, they all have their own flavors.
Tennessee.
And largely, those are based on the sauce profile that they use in those regions rather than any other kind of seasonings. It's a combination, but most of it is the sauce. And so the first time I ever got really exposed to great sauce is Bob and I went to a barbecue competition in Kansas City. And Kansas City has a sauce. Now, technically, every sauce has some vinegar in it, whether you're starting with ketchup or not.
Let's put that a little differently. Kansas City has a style of sauces.
Right. Right. And what did I say?
You said Kansas City has a sauce.
Oh, well, again, all of these are styles sauces, right? But basically, this one has, you know, more ingredients than some of the others. Some are very simple. Some are more. You know, I think that my remembering this, the Kansas City style had a little more heat in it than maybe some of the others that are from different parts of the country. And it comes from a red pepper flake that's in there. it comes from maybe some paprika and, you know, some chili powder, those kind of things that'll amp it up just a little bit. But cayenne pepper, whatever it may be. I mean, I think, again, everybody does it a little bit different.
Yeah.
But that profile, in doing my research, that's what it are in there, is there's more of the three
well,
or four kinds of peppers.
And that was 10 years ago, and we drank a lot on that trip, so your memory might be a little
No,
skewed.
This thing came from that thing called the internet. And I just made a spreadsheet when I did this research. And, you know, unless the...
Well, typically, if you talk to, like, competitive barbecue guys...
Yep.
Competition barbecue people or anybody who's worked the circuit at all more than you and I have. We only did one or two. Most of those guys that end up somewhere where the KCBS is judging things will tell you that a Kansas City style is a sweet sauce. And that's what I don't really like about Kansas City style sauce. It's typically too sweet. I think the Texas sauces have more heat.
Yep.
Alabama is known for the white sauce, but not everybody down there uses it, and they certainly have plenty of red sauce. Where you really break out is in the Carolina, in my opinion, the
right.
Carolinas. Number one, Memphis is on that chart. I tell you that I like a Memphis flavor, but most Memphis barbecue people will tell you that you should never sauce anything. That their thing is their flavor profile.
They're dry.
They're
rubs.
Not sauce people,
right?
You know, I'm people come up with Memphis sauces,
right?
I have made a Memphis sauce based on fiction, but it's if you're in Memphis, it's you're going to find that the real hardcore, the OGs of barbecue, they're not going to put a sauce.
So, you know, Texas is focuses more on beef than pork, so your profile
used
is
a little
different. St. Louis is ribs. Kansas City, I don't know, when we were there, they were doing hog and it was everything, but
yeah.
It was the Royal,
mm-hmm.
right? And we went down there and there was chicken, pork, and beef
right.
going on there. But the Carolinas are almost all hog.
Yes.
Right? And
well, the Carolinas are as heavy hog as the Texans are heavy beef.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
there's a lot of hog coming into Texas now.
Yep.
And you'd think there should be because they got a lot of wild hogs down there. I mean,
they could
make a killing.
yeah.
But the really different thing on those is when you get into the Carolinas, in my opinion.
Okay.
Because South Carolina is the mustard base, right?
Right.
And that comes from their German heritage.
Okay.
Which is cool. And, you know, barbecue people like to argue about, oh, you know, where'd barbecue come from? I mean, if you let enough people claim that territory, you'll end up back, you know, on Mount Sinai, and it's going to be some rabbi who did an offering, and then he went back after the crowd left and ate the ram.
Yeah, right.
So, seriously, that conversation happens. So it's
blended
like
that right into a Christmas story, who, didn't he?
Yeah, I didn't even have to use Yiddish to explain it. But so South Carolina is mustard based,
right?
The fun what I find, and I spend a lot of time in North Carolina, so I probably get a little bigger kick out of this than I should. But in North Carolina, it's county by county, and their county is the only one that's right. Wherever you're at,
right.
These people are serious hog folks.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they got their style and that's what they're going to do.
Right. Every time. But you know what? That's part of the holidays. I'll bring this back full circle is that hopefully your family has a tradition or two, whatever it is, that there's a meal that when you come home, there's this or that on the table.
Yes.
This time of year.
And it's not turkey, thank God.
Right. And if you're blessed enough to have those kind of memories with your family, it's just awesome to bring that in. You know, I'm remarried now 3.5 years in, trying to start a little tradition, you know, so that every year when we get together, and it's focused around beef
yeah.
every year, the family really enjoys the beef that I either smoke or we, you know, do on a griddle or do something in a cast iron pan, whatever it may be. You know,
nice.
Obviously grilling too.
Well, they're going to love the Wellington.
Yeah, yeah, we're going to give it a try. But anyway, coming up next, Barbecue Bob's got some more stuff he's going to be scratching out for you. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Fen Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fenville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fen Valley Vineyards.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
With the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the grilling guy show.
Happy holidays. You're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Check that. Merry Christmas to you all.
Mile kalikimaka.
I knew that was coming. One more. There's another half to that. Yeah. But anyway, we're glad you tuned in, and we talked a little bit about barbecue sauce, and this is a little bit saucy show, I guess, so we're going to continue down this road, making your own, and Bob calls them scratch sauces, but you know, you start with the basics and then, you know, add some stuff till you get it taste like you want it to taste.
Right, right? And I don't know that I've ever said scratch sauce before I put it on the show plan. It's just something that jogged my memory into saying, you know, we like to make things from scratch, you and I do very often. Mm-hmm. We're not the kind of guy to, if you come to our house, you're not going to see us opening up a bunch of boxes to make dinner.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Might be a box of wine.
Right, yeah. Thank you, Fen Valley. But no, you're right, because the best meals in my world are cooked with fresh ingredients.
Yeah.
And I don't want processed food.
No.
Do I eat it? Certainly, when we're in a hurry or something like that. But, you know.
Maybe if there's a Chick-fil-A or a Wendy's around. Yeah,
right.
Well, the latest thing is the one from Wisconsin with the butter burgers.
Culver's.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my wife's favorite
it's
of
pretty
all.
Pretty good.
Them. But where I'm going is that given the time to do it, there's no substitute for fresh ingredients, right? They're just better, and there's love in them. When you're doing it, you can put a little more of this, a little less of that, and I think
yeah.
that's what you're talking about here with these scratch sauces.
Yeah, you really hit on something there, and I think the one of the sad things of this time of year is all those fresh things are kind of gone away. You had your chance,
right?
This August, September, all these farmers markets and stuff, and all these beautiful tomatoes and peppers, and you know, we just had a heck of a good growing year again, second in a row we had like that, where
yep.
you know, the produce in Michigan was amazing. And I don't know how it was where y'all were, wherever you're listening from, but there is a time of year when that stuff is plentiful. Now if you want to buy it, you're going to a chain store and you're getting factory tomatoes, or they're shipped in from somewhere, and they've been on a truck for 4 or 5 days, and they were picked kind of green, and they're kind of ripening, and they're getting way better at that, but it's just not the same. So anyway, right. I digress. Scratch sauce.
Yep.
I just thought it would be nice if people knew the basic ingredients to barbecue sauce, because I'm sure a lot of people have made it, but a lot of people, I bet more people, have never made it. And here's some of the things that most people would consider. Tomato sauce. Or ketchup, if you don't have tomato sauce.
Ketchup is processed tomato sauce with other stuff.
With vinegar.
Yeah. Yep.
It's just tomato sauce and vinegar. It's so simple, it's ridiculous. Here's something I never use, but some people
I
like.
I know where you're going with
molasses.
This.
Molasses.
Right.
Yeah.
I will tell
Not
you
a fan.
That a little of that goes a long way,
yeah.
man.
I don't even want the cookie.
Right. Yeah. It's a strong flavor, and be careful when you use a molasses. I mean, it adds a depth of flavor, but if I'm making, 12 ounces of sauce, I might use a half a teaspoon of molasses in there, because it's got if you get too much, it gets a little on the bitter side, a little bit. I mean, it's supposed to be ooey gooey and sweet, but it's got a something with. I don't. Well, maybe somebody listening could tell me how to use it better. But I've never been successful with using a lot of molasses on anything.
And full transparency, I did the top search on homemade barbecue sauce, and this is the stuff it came out with. It's not necessarily my opinion. I thought it showed a nice representation of how what you're going to find if you let the internet bring you down that road. And another thing they use is red wine vinegar. I don't. I use cider vinegar. Number one, it's a better price.
Yep.
And I think being from Michigan, apples and apple cider and apple cider vinegar, just, I don't know, it's our heritage. So I've gotten used to making it.
That's good for you, too.
It is. I've gotten used to making it that way. Another thing they always promote is liquid smoke.
Once again.
Not a fan.
Nope. I'd put that right up beside molasses. Be careful when you're using liquid smoke. That little of that goes a long way.
Well, and, you know, there are some that are pretty decent. They mentioned one in here. I can't remember the name, but, yeah.
I'd rather use a smoker. You know, one of the things that's an easy gift for somebody if you've got a smoker in the backyard is go buy some kosher salt and spread it on a pan and then just put it in your smoker and smoke that salt.
You just robbed our fifth segment.
I did?
Oh, that's okay.
Oh, okay.
Conrad will have to come up with something smart for that
one. Well, it's his bunker. we're gonna do that. But I didn't see that.
You're right.
But that's an easy gift.
And let's run down that hog trail a little bit.
Okay. All right. So, you know, as far as...
Are you going to just get a piece of tin foil and throw it on your grate in your smoker and pour a bunch of big chunks of Himalayan sea salt on it and get it smoked up?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
I think so.
Yep.
You could make it cool, too. If you did that, you could get some tuxedo sesame seeds and you could kind of...
Those are the black and white ones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could kind of filter a few of those in there and then buy them a nice little salt grinder,
right?
And have all that stuff in there, and that's a heck of a nice gift. Who doesn't want another mill,
right?
Because they always break,
right?
And number two, it's like, wow, you really thought this through. You know, you're thoughtful. You know, that's how you show someone you really love them. So then it's a nice thing. So why you went down that trail was, I think maybe you were going to say you could make your sauce and you could throw your sauce in the smoker,
right? Yeah. And trust me on that one, it will absorb smoke. You might want to stir it a few times.
Yes,
generally,
exactly.
Generally when I'm smoking, I leave the lid down. You know, if you're looking, you ain't cooking. But you got to stir a sauce. Same thing like with my beans, right? They'll get a little skin on the
great
top.
Great point.
And you want to stir that in two or three times during the cook so that you get the smoke throughout the dish, not just on top
of it. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
Yep.
And the other thing with doing that is you will keep the texture and the consistency in that sauce a little bit better.
Yep.
I would tell you that making a sauce is really easy, and I feel kind of bad now that I'm going down memory lane here with you on this because that's something we should make more often. But a point I want to back up the bus a little bit, you know, a lot of these recipes, if you look at your top searches, they're always going to talk about ketchup.
Yep.
Ketchup, ketchup, ketchup. Well, first of all, no Heinz ketchup is allowed in my house. But I don't think you have to use ketchup. You can go to Gordon's and get a big can of tomato sauce for, I don't know what, $8? It's a gallon.
Right.
And all you got to do is add a little vinegar to that. So that tomato sauce is always your base. You know, when I used to rep for Original Juan, which is a wonderful sauce manufacturer.
Right.
When I drive up
Texas T-Bone comes from, isn't it?
No, that's Old World. That's old American.
Sorry.
It's another spice
company.
Another spice company. Original Juan makes sauces. And when you drive up to the factory, there are semi-loads of, when I talk about that produce, take advantage of the produce, there's semi-loads of peppers and tomatoes. And then there's these giant vats and ovens. And from a mile away, the aroma hits you and you're just like, you could close your eyes and walk right to the plant because it's just the most wonderful smell you'll ever.
You know, I was down in the Louisville area over St. Patty's Day and I had a similar experience with distilleries.
You probably closed your eyes quite a bit. Right, yeah.
Just drew me right in, you know. I had COVID nose and I could still smell it. Yeah.
Jeez. Snortful is what you're telling me.
Right, yep, a snortful. But, hey, hopefully you've got your holidays done and you're doing getting ready to feed the family. If that's the case, enjoy this time when you've got your family together. Make something special that's memorable. Doesn't have to be real fancy, but just something that's made for scratch. So
for the next segment, let's talk about another gift that they can make people.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah.
Like some spices.
Yeah, all right. Well, you're listening to Grilling Guys. We'll be back. We're going to rub up some spices.
Barbecue Bob here for the local hunting, fishing, and archery experts at Allen Bob Sports. The freshest, tastiest proteins you can put on the grill or in the smoker are the ones you harvest yourself. And Allen Bob Sports is everything you need to be a success in the field or on the water. For everything from bows and crossbows to firearms and fishing, go to Allen Bob Sports, now partnered with Millbrook Tack, just off US 131, exit 76, or shop online at millbrooktack.com.
Barbecue Bob for Garrett's Appliance. Lots of folks are remodeling, and if you are, you owe it to yourself to go to Garrett's Appliance. They made my kitchen the perfect example of elegant and functional. Visit either location, 29th Street in Kentwood or 28th Street in Wyoming. Garrett's Appliance also has a super lineup of patio kitchen equipment, and you can count on their design team for a perfect outdoor grilling area. Visit garrettsappliances.com. That's garrettsappliances.com.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grilling Guy.
Hey, Merry Christmas and welcome back. You're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network.
Ho, ho.
Oh, yep. There he is. That's Conrad. He kind of looks like Santa.
Jolly fat man. Yes.
Right.
Happy
exactly.
to be here.
Right. We're glad you are, by the way. But
here or fat?
Yeah. Exactly. But so, Bob, we've talked about sauces ad nauseum. So let's go into the spices because there's a whole lot of people that, and me included, that I use a lot more dry seasoning than I do sauce.
Yep.
Sauce is something that might go on a third to a half of my barbecue.
See, you'll fit right in Memphis.
Right. But yeah. Oh yeah. And the Memphis seasoning, we'll start there because it's got a little bit of a citrus profile, and that to me, I'll take some Old World Olive Company lime-infused olive oil, put a little bit of it in a bag, throw the chicken wings in there, and soak that up.
That's not a rub.
I understand. But that makes the Memphis rub stick to my chicken wings.
God, I just heard Rob Russell there for a second.
And I'm just telling you, listen to me, that the Memphis profile is my family's favorite chicken wings. Flavor, and I've shown them what it is, but I get them to. They ask when are you going to make those Memphis chicken wings again? Those things are amazing.
So Sobey Meats, sells something that with that profile, and it's called Pig's Ass.
Yeah,
it's a rub called Pig's Ass. Here's the secret to the Memphis profile.
Well, I thought you were going to give me the secret to a pig's ass.
No, I think you found that long ago.
Okay.
no farm humor here. It is powdered.
It's called ham.
It's powdered Worcestershire.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Yeah.
And because that's a little tangy.
It is.
Yep.
It is. It's like the magic.
Yeah.
Magic dust. Yeah. So you can buy it at Kent Butcher Supply.
Okay.
If you want to make. You know, if you want to really kill your neighbor's barbecue and just like go flying by everybody in the neighborhood, go to them and get some of that powdered Worcestershire.
Yep.
Because that is the secret. And then don't tell anybody.
Right.
Especially over the airwaves.
Right. Right. So we were talking in the previous segment, one of them, about smoking salt. You know, just again, a coarse sea salt, the pink Himalayan works as well.
It's pretty, but you're going to make it black anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Right. And don't over smoke it. You want, you know, smoking salt is like perfume.
Right.
You want a touch of it. You don't want to kill it because it'll be overpowering.
But there's probably a caveat there as well in that the size of the salt crystals.
Yep.
And they do vary.
Sure they do.
If you're going with a kosher and you get the big chunks, I'd say smoke the heck out of it, because when you start crushing that up,
yep,
there's no smoke inside.
Great
it, point. So it'll dilute itself.
Great point.
In Manistee, I believe, or Traverse City, there's a place called the Northern Spice Company.
Okay.
And they make that blend. It's probably like salt, a little bit of onion powder, a little bit of pepper, and probably some garlic.
Yeah.
And then they put it in this nice little spice container. You know, you just shake it on, but it's one of the nicest blends I've ever had. It's called Northern Spice Company, and I think they call it grilling salt or something.
Yep.
You can put that, if you're cooking inside, if you wuss out like I did last week, and you cook inside, you can put that on a burger, a steak, whatever you want.
You put that on anything.
And I'm telling you, it'll taste like you grilled it.
Yep.
It's a fantastic thing. So basic rubs, and we're not talking about a back rub. We're talking about how you like to treat your protein, you know, what you're going to put on it. And you literally don't have to rub it in. It's called a rub because a lot of people used to rub it, did rub it. There's lots of ways you can go with a rub too, and you can put it on your meat and then wrap it and put it in the fridge overnight. Some people like to do that. Yep.
So I would shy away from heavy salt based rubs and putting those on overnight, because it'll draw some of the moisture, I feel, out of the
meat.
That's
why they cut them with a lot of sugar.
Right.
You know, you're kind of curing the meat to a certain extent, but I agree with you. And I'm not one that'll rub something and put it in overnight like that so much. It depends on what it is. Now, when I do like a Mexican pulled pork,
right,
then I might do that, only because you're really putting a heavy profile on a piece of hog, and hog needs it.
Well, it does. You know, it's dense.
It's
too.
Pork.
I mean,
it's like
if
turkey.
You're doing a pork shoulder, a pork butt, or whatever you want to call it, I mean, you're looking at 7-8 pounds, and you're putting seasoning on the outside. If it's boneless, you'll have a couple cavities you can put the seasoning in. But by and large, you're covering about 10% of the meat you're going to eat with seasoning. And the rest of it's got to be mixed in.
And there's so much fat on it, it'll rehydrate itself quite easily.
Yeah, yep.
I agree.
But that,
God, we're agreeing with each other.
Well, I don't know. Hey, man,
weird.
Tis the
Must
season.
Be Christmas.
Yeah. But anyway.
Since we're going down that path, there's another thing you could make for a gift. You know, come up with a spice blend you like.
Yep.
If you have, and maybe you make it, and maybe your buddy's trying to get his game going and you just want to, you know, give him something as a little bit of a thrill. That's a heck of a nice gift. Again, you made it.
Right.
And they're so simple. We're talking about, they almost always have paprika.
Right.
They have salt and sugar.
Yep.
Onion powder, garlic powder, maybe some thyme or coriander, maybe some orange. I like using orange peel.
Dill is okay. A little bit of it goes a long way.
For steak, dill is fantastic.
Yep.
If you look at the Montreal steak seasoning, I mean, nobody knows spices better than McCormick's.
Right.
And that Montreal, who doesn't buy that?
Right.
That's got dill in it.
Yep. Yep. And I keep a little bottle of dill weed. I think they call it dill weed. You know, it's pulverized, and you sprinkle that. I put that on the other day. I put that on deviled eggs. I thought it was going to look cool. Kind of
looks good,
like
pine.
Oh man, it ramped those things up in a hurry. I was like,
you're
dang, I got to do
our
that again.
Now.
Right, I got to do that again.
You know, another thing like that is thyme.
Yeah,
thyme and dill are overlooked by a lot of chefs, or at least kitchen guys.
To me, thyme is another one of those seasonings. Is a little bit goes a long way. It can take over other flavors if you get too much of it in there, but that's personal preference, right? Some people love it.
Yeah, and so you could make up those rubs like that, or you can even make up just your own favorite just to keep it around, so you don't have to get all those spices out every time you're making your favorite thing.
Right, and I used to, there was a guy named Andrew Smith that taught me a lot about cooking, and he's a chef, but Andrew had this stuff he called chef's salt, and it was kosher salt, white pepper, black pepper, and garlic powder. And he put that on a lot of things that came out of his kitchen. But that little four seasoning, the white and the black pepper for some reason, and then the garlic and the salt, I mean, it was in a shaker, you know, and he put it on chicken, he put it on beef, he put it on pork. It was
nothing wrong with that at all.
Yeah, it was like a go-to.
There's another one made in Michigan that I used to buy up at R&J's Market up in Houghton Lake, and it was like Magic Blend or Chef's Magic or something like that. You see it all over the place. That's another one of those just perfect. You can just grab the thing, put it on, and you're all done. Old World has one like that too.
Seasonella. It's a salt with
fantastic.
Herbs in it. Yep. Comes in a little like 8-ounce glass jar.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with just grabbing something off the shelf like that.
Yeah. And there again, that's why everybody says, well, why don't you make your own sauces and rubs? Because that stuff exists. And I'm not in the food business. I'm in the talking business, right?
So yeah, and it kind of depends on time too.
Yeah.
You know, if you really have all kinds of time and you just really feel like maybe experimenting a little bit and going down one of those trails, then you might play around with your blends. It's kind of how I do it.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. I do want to do a hat tip to McCormick, though, because they have just kept expanding their reach on the Montreal blend, put them back in the driver's seat,
yep.
And that thing exploded and drove revenue. And now they've got all kinds of variations of it.
Yep.
People like it. And your average person, number one, probably isn't going to listen to two guys for an hour talk about food.
Right.
But they will want some of these secrets. So if you have those little nuggets of knowledge,
yeah.
You can
so
help them out.
Next week, Barbecue Bob and I are going to be off for the holidays, so you're going to get a best of. So this is the last live show of 2023.
You made it.
Personally, I just want to thank everybody for listening. Barbecue Bob putting up with me for another year. We are blessed to be able to do this each and every week and come on and just impart our opinions more than knowledge about anything. But I'm wishing you and all of yours a very, very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Ho, ho, ho.
Merry Christmas and mile kalikimaka, hauli makahiki ho.